The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody...
What kind of weather was it, Squirrel? Damp and raw. I never heard that for a weather report. Sounds like the Oval Office to me. In the meantime, somebody asked the dimwit in diapers, what do you think about your legacy?
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people.
Wrong. Well, you did. In fact, this is the worst that's been for the ordinary people since the Great Depression. You know, it's fascinating when you look at the differences between Joe Biden and Donald Trump in just a couple of narrow little lanes economically. For instance, let's take mortgage rates. Now, granted, you could always have the plausible deniability. It's the Federal Reserve. But what we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, is that the Federal Reserve is an arm, a weapon of the government that openly admits in order to stop people from acquiring things that's going to make them bankrupt. Well, that's what they did. When Donald Trump took office in January of 2017, just home rates on your mortgage was 4.1%. When he left, it was 2.8%. The difference is when Joe Biden stole the office, January of 2021, it was 2.8%. If you're kind, it's 6.8%, but we all know what it really is. It's over 7%. So what is that, 150, 160% increase? And that's just one little entity that controls the lives and the quality of life of Americans. If you factor in energy prices and all the rest of it, it's insane. So your legacy on just the domestic economic issues are going to be catastrophic in the future because they won't have the propaganda wing of the proletariat media that's protecting you. They will not have that. What they will be able to do is dissect all of it. The lies, the fraud, the election theft. They're going to also include the 14 million, if we buy your numbers, of illegal aliens, not to mention the enemies, foreign and domestic, not just the ones that bribed you. So for this dimwit to pretend his legacy is anything other than important to Jimmy Carter, who, by the way, still alive as the number two worst president, is what he will be categorized after you're done destroying our nation.
They reduced the prospect to war.
What? You gave
Wrong.
The Taliban a country, you stupid, wrinkled-ass old whore, and that's just the Taliban. Take a look at the Middle East. Not that it looked great ever, but it's really bad. Now, by the way, a little update. Israel says if attacked by Iran, they will directly attack Iran. That means that, what do they call him, the Supreme Ayatollah Khomeini, or also known as the Heiress, the queen who runs Iran, he will be eating a nuke should they attack. I kind of like it.
And because of Vietnam.
Vietnam? Did he say Vietnam, Squirrel? I could swear he said Vietnam. Now, it's funny about Vietnam. He was an athlete that he wants you to believe. He was a good football player, right? He didn't go to the Naval Academy. Why? Because of Roger Staubach or some other Hall of Famers. But when Vietnam came, he said he had asthma. He didn't have asthma before Vietnam, only afterwards. Let's listen to that part again.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam.
And he said because of Vietnam. Now, if you look at the fact that this is a senator for five decades, and was instrumental in conflicts from what? Ford, Reagan, Carter, all the way through. And he points to Vietnam. Now, that would be a slip, and that would be a sign that he clearly has dementia. Not that we need any more. He clearly has it.
And as I said to you maybe before we started, I don't remember how I said it when we started.
And the reporter chuckles. He doesn't remember because he's suffering. But that won't matter. And the reason it won't matter is what I discovered during hearings that were going on in the Senate. You see, it's never about the hood ornament you see. It's about the Leviathan behind it and underneath it and all around it. So when you look at our once great city, our once great state, and now you hear news blurbs that the governor has to bribe people to imitate stores, their plan, and when I say they, I'm talking about government supremacists, the Marxist mafia, it is working exactly as they drew it up. Because they didn't like small, independent, privately owned businesses. They don't like them. They don't like them when they're small. They don't like them when they're medium. They certainly don't like them when they're big. They'll allow them to operate as long as they bribe them through lobbyists and other forms of legalized corruption. But that is exposed in the most obvious of places when we talk about the concept of taxation. And you see, this is something we harp on all the time because it sickens me that Americans who were given the right to property are so willing to give it away. And you realize it's not the people themselves who earn it. It's the sloths that need it to exist. You know, the Democrats. The problem we have is they're small people in big jobs with big power. Normally, they go unnamed. But now, during Senate hearings, you're going to hear from one that has the idea in a position that all businesses are tax cheats. Now, we can have the argument of what exactly is a tax and whose money is it in the first place. But the one thing is for certain, under Joe Biden, who will be remembered as the most fiscally irresponsible, who directly destroyed the value and the integrity of our dollar in the future. And you see the spending, they need it to cover the fraud.
Ms. Mellon, is your expertise in the area, Mr. Bunn made this distinction, is your expertise in the area of tax avoidance or tax evasion or both?
I would say both. I think the lines, there are situations where the lines might get blurry, especially on the corporate side. But in my...
It's both.
It's both. In okay. short, it's both.
It's going to be harder to get answers out of her in the future. But you have to understand the reason this will not be newsworthy on the mainstream media is because now in American history, the most amount of citizens derive their sustenance from misappropriation of funds called government spending. They're in the tens of millions of direct employees. When you fraction out the people who are on the swindle and get their companies because they're set up Ponzi schemes to kick back to politicians, how do you quantify it? Is it half of the workforce or is it even more? So they need to confiscate that small amount of money that's earned in the private sector, the ones that you and me get our money from.
Do you believe that they're... or major American corporations that are cheating on their taxes?
I think yes, there are cases where the transfer pricing regulations are not being followed, and Mr. Curtis's testimony speaks to that.
Who are they? Who are the five? Name the five American corporations that are the biggest tax cheats.
Well, this is a question for the IRS. It's their job to enforce the laws. So I wouldn't.
That's a pretty serious allegation you made there. And I'm just asking you who they are.
There are cases pending against a number of companies until those cases conclude.
Who do you think they are? You're an expert in this area.
And first of all, this particular woman, her name is Zorka Million. She's the policy director at the Financial Accountability. She is the one telling them who to go after. And what happens when they go after them? Who actually defends them? They have to defend themselves. Most of these cases are settled quietly. The IRS is incentivized to penalize our companies because they keep a portion of the penalty. This all goes to fund bureaucrats who have with it the power of what? Well, it depends what department they work for, like the department that Gavin Oblenis works for. What's his department? Well, he's an ex-FBI, ex-CIA, spook, spy, fed, G-man. And he knows exactly how to keep the plebes, the serfs, quiet.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can.
That's a confession by somebody who's retired on our money. Because like most municipal hacks, they don't get their pension on a return of investment. They get it on loyalty to the government. That's how he gets paid. And you could see he's making a lot. He's got about a size D cup as he sits there with his breasts out, bragging about the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, entrapping Americans, not just on January 6th, but anytime they want it.
We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
By the way, does everybody that work for the government spend their off hours in the forest preserve? Does every one of them have sugar in the tank? What the hell is he talking like?
Call it a nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give him a quick little, just to see what happens, right?
I don't ever want this guy nudging anybody I know. In the meantime, how does it pay? How do they get paid? They get paid by extorting us, that smaller, shrinking sector of what's called the private economy. So when the inflation numbers come up, when the costs go on, do you think this fat slob pays for his own gas? Of course not. They all get the government credit card.
I'm just asking you, you talked a lot, and I've read some of your writings about American corporations cheating on their taxes. I'm just asking you who they are.
I wouldn't use the word cheating. I think that they are taking advantage of the gray zone.
You used it in your testimony.
I'm sorry.
You used it in your testimony. I'm not trying to trick you. I just want to know you have been very vociferous in saying that American companies are cheating. Okay, that's America. You're entitled to your opinion, but you're an expert, and just tell me who they are.
I stand by that. I think that there is evidence to suggest that some of these companies and the IRS has pursued cases against a number of the companies.
Who are they?
And this is supported because the vast majority of people have the mindset of a willing slave. They would like to enforce this idea that the government gets to take the money of both neighbors and corporations that employ them versus a government that's held to no accountability. None. And the idea she's the director of accountability means she has to divert the attention from everything that gets stolen or misappropriated. Now, I could take the big ones. We could absolutely take military-industrial complex. We could take a lot of government spending. But what about the spending in the name of the needy? How does that work out?
First, the unemployed. Now we're discovering identity thieves have a new target.
And it's families with young children who are really struggling to put food on the table right now. CBS2 investigator Dorothy Tucker here with us now with more on the problems that these needy families are facing right now.
And it's a big problem. Adriana, after stealing billions of dollars from jobless Americans waiting for unemployment benefits, we've discovered hackers are now preying on people who rely on a federal food program called SNAP, people who use link cards.
We're hearing more and more reports of large-scale fraud that's being perpetrated on poor households who are having their benefits stolen before they ever get a chance to use them to purchase their groceries.
At that moment, I just knew that I wasn't going to have money for groceries for this entire month.
And what happens is the government doesn't find the money. They just reload the card. Do we have an accountability on how many billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions that we have financed to thieves that operate outside of our country and in it? What about all the specific ethnicities that own convenience stores? Or should we just focus on the fact that the policies destroy the private property rights of Americans and chase out business of all size? They're doing exactly what they said they would do. They're nationalizing every aspect of our life. So the inflation numbers are not going to matter because to the people who get their SNAP benefits stolen, they just reload it. And where's the money go? Poof. And how do they pay for it? By stealing more of your money and corporations who will not comply with extortion called taxes. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that,
he's become an enemy of the state.
He's Sean Thompson, and this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
The fact that he's even running is a joke. If it isn't the dementia, how about the actual facts? More people are on welfare in this country who are citizens than at any time in the history of the country. Also including more illegals who are receiving benefits and taxpayer money at the record level at any time in history. And then there's all the money that is stolen and misappropriated. The record debt. And he found $350 million? Where'd he find it?
If we don't step up and provide the help we need, I was able to find another $310 million available that hadn't been used yet. But I've run out of runway to provide for more aid without the aid of the Congress.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And where is the money? Not to mention the money that they know where it is and how they spend it.
Ms. Powers, on April 26, 2023, you testified before this committee that USAID did not fund gain-of-function research. I'd like to give you a chance to correct the record. Is it still your position that USAID did not fund gain-of-function research?
We have no evidence that USAID has funded gain-of-function research, and we certainly haven't authorized gain-of-function research.
Well, I'll help you. Behind me, we'll list a paper from 2015. This is a paper produced by the Wuhan Institute of Virology and also by Dr. Barrick from UNC. In this paper, if you'll see the funding aspect that's highlighted, it says USAID EPT predict funding from EcoHealth Alliance. So this paper was one where they took a virus, the SARS virus, the backbone of the SARS virus, and then took an S protein from an unknown virus they found in the wild and put them together. Are you aware that these experiments in the study were supported by USAID, PREDICT, and grant through EcoHealth Alliance?
As I said, USAID has not authorized gain-of-function research. This is
so who's going to go to jail? You misappropriated hundreds of millions of dollars to invest and create COVID that was forever... or was used to forever change the trajectory of freedom, liberty in our nation. Who's going to go to jail? Too bad they didn't work for Trump. You can go to jail if you had a typo that you put your initials to the square footage of a condo.
Today, Donald Trump's former chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, was sentenced to 5 months in jail for lying under oath. Weisselberg admitted he lied about the size of Trump's Manhattan penthouse during the former president's civil fraud trial. Weisselberg appeared in court casually dressed and ready to serve his sentence.
Oh, my God! Was he 80? Is he 80? Casually dressed. Was he supposed to show up in a suit, you dimwit? But don't blame him. He's a 20-year-old Marxist who doesn't ask any questions. Samantha Powers, Cass Sunstein's wife, has been embroiled in scandal since Barack Obama was just destroying the state of Illinois. And in the meantime, we're funding money. Who goes to jail? Nobody. They're the gods among us. They're the G-men. And they can do anything.
How does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have some fake profile say something that triggers, that we know is going to trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. You're like, oh, this will piss them off.
Oh.
Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, then sometimes the bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, that's a nice voice. What do you think him and his partner were doing when they were on a stakeout in a squad car? I can guess. Sicko. I feel so much better about this if these G-men were heterosexuals. Teresa, Brass Coast.
Brass Coast checking in, Sean. You know, I read this morning that March of this year has been recorded as the highest month of inflation since Biden stole the office. Almost 4 years in with Biden and the Democrats, and just last month, we're still making record numbers on the increase on inflation.
And if this idiot somehow stays above grass and is allowed to steal the next election, these will be referred to as the good old days. That's the cost of electing Democrat morons. George, Naperville.
Sean, in actuality, isn't Biden a man of his word? I mean, he said the organization ran the greatest voter fraud operation in the history of the presidency. I would say he's an honest Abe.
I think you're right.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
And that's the only thing that explains the fact he sits and soils the Oval Office. 312-642-5600.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
He said it again, squirrel. Damp and raw. I was either going to name my boat that or the strip joint I invest in next. In the meantime, let's talk about, I think that was the nickname of the FBI car used by Gavin Oblinis and his partner, Damp and Raw.
He always wanted the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Hardcore. Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
Something tells me he's going to get it back. Sue these rat bastards.
So what? Why are you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case?
Boy, it sounds a lot like Trump's cases, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like Trump's cases. Sounds a lot like the Lois Lerner scandal that got hushed up under Barack, who likes them big and round. Sounds like a modus operandi. See, this is how they keep us nice and quiet. They use their organizations that we pay for to take our money, bankrupt us, and keep us quiet.
Used it. Was that a CIA?
Sure was.
That was an agency thing?
Well,
can you pot up It's Raining Men in the background to that Pete Buttigieg level? I would really prefer if we just went with a little disco music.
It was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to be this time?
He must have thought he was on a date. That's it, baby. Let it go. Now spill the beans, Sally.
Right. So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to this, and it's there, what can we go find?
He's doing a little rat-a-tat-tat on the dining room table. This is the biggest scandal since who knows when. It answers all of the questions, including the greatest psyop perpetrated on these shores. What is it called, Squirrel? They call it an insurrection. It wasn't one, because I wasn't there, G-Man. Keep an eye on me.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C.
By the way, could any of you ask your wives after this, I don't know if you have any, could you ask your wives where my watch is?
Just in case it gets out of hand like that.
There wasn't
enough to turn that tie. I mean, I'm talking maybe have it 20.
You know what I'm doing there, Squirrel, don't you? It's called a nudge. I'm nudging the G-men.
You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just go through there and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So that,
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Do people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, the agency knew.
Confirming once again the allegations made by people who can think and read, like me and you, that January 6th was a psyop. Boy, this was a busy day to expose the kind of collusion and corruption that the American government partakes in on a daily business, on a daily basis, and has for years. After all, this is really their business. They don't have any other one.
It's the first time seeing this. We're happy to look into it.
This has been around since 2015. We've been over it numerous times. It's been in the public record. We've repeatedly said that, yes, USAID did fund gain-of-function research. Here's the evidence. But here's some comments from some different people about this study.
because some will try to argue this still is not gain of function. Simon Wayne Hobson is a virologist at the Pasteur Institute in Paris. He points out that the researchers have created, with this research funded by USAID, a novel virus that grows remarkably well in human cells. If the virus escaped, nobody could predict the trajectory. Richard Ebright from Rutgers says, the only impact of this work is the creation in a lab of a new non-natural risk to humanity. So is your position that this study was not gain of function or that you didn't fund it? Which is your position?
We have had an awful lot of back and forth and provided thousands of pages of documents on this. This article, it looks like it's from 2015.
Right.
So we will have to look into the specific claims. But
Here we go. We're going to look into it. We're going to get back to you. But the reality is the wheels have been in motion since Barack Obama was a state senator. And now the corrupt Marxist mafia has everything cooking just the way they wanted it to. It's at a fine simmer, which explains this.
Dear colleagues and friends, as you know, there have been several reviews of the global response to the pandemic with many recommendations for strengthening global health security.
Pay attention, Squirrel. This is the head of the WHO, called the WHO, not the band, but the World Health Organization. He should know. After all, he's a veterinarian. He's a veterinarian. Yeah, but he's a political sycophant. That's how he got the job. He's part of the Fourth Reich.
They all recognize the need for better systems and tools. Better financing, including for global public goods such as vaccines, better global governance, and a stronger, empowered, and sustainably financed WHO.
By us! All the other countries don't pay for it. Who's going to pay for it? Palestine, with their furniture money? This is why they extort our companies and demand new taxations, higher levels. This is why they're eyeing your 401ks. Raising taxes on all fronts.
To connect and underpin these ideas, I believe the time is right for an international treaty or other legally binding instrument to provide the framework for a more coherent and coordinated response to future epidemics and pandemics.
Oh, you believe so? Well, I said you and the rest of you idiots at the WHO and all of the Democrats here in America can kiss my ass. What about that? Or am I still not I'm not an American anymore? Oh, okay. It's a new America where I'm part of the World Health Organization, you corrupt moron. And shave your porno mustache, freak!
Whatever new structures or mechanisms are established, they must promote equity and galvanize the engagement and ownership of all countries. They must be multi-sectoral, involving partners from across the One Health spectrum. They must be coherent with the international health regulations. They must be rooted in the constitutional...
Who is he saying must be? You must shut your mouth. You have no authority. Oh, wait a minute. The Biden administration cut a deal with them? That's not good.
The attempted power grab described by Bachman involves the World Health Organization, or WHO. Through a series of 307 amendments and a global pandemic treaty, the WHO seeks to gain authority over health decisions of UN member nations that could affect the rest of the world in the case of something like another COVID pandemic.
Then they would be empowered to tell us in America, we have to lock down, we have to shut down, we have to close our churches, we have to close our schools. We're forced, mandated to take a vaccine, whether we want to or not.
So everything will be like Illinois, Chicago? That'll be terrible. Where were the Republicans during all of this nonsense? Where were they? Who was the lead speaker then? What was his name? McCarthy's big guy on K Street today. Well, he just opened himself up for a lawsuit today.
Was it this? You made a lot of concessions in the negotiations.
No, I didn't. Okay.
Is that
Let's get to the bottom of that.
Right?
That is such a misnomer in life. Let me give you the truth about that now. And I'll give you the truth why I'm not speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became speaker, and that's illegal, and I'm not going to get in the middle. Did he do it or not? I don't know.
Well, what he did, hopefully, is open himself up for a lawsuit. The good news is no matter what the fee is, he can pay it because he's a political pimp now. He used to be the whore who allowed all of this skullduggery to operate. Well, he pretended to be a conservative. So the Kevin McCarthy's, the Mike Johnson's, the Mitt Romney's, pick a name who's become a multi-millionaire for doing nothing other than prostituting power. And they're going to tell you how you're the bad guy because you don't want him to continue? I think that's the greatest badge they can give you. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
I mean, nobody's talking about this Gavin O'Blenis. I got three TVs. Nobody's talking about it. You know why? It upends the La Cosa Nostra, referred to as the government. It upends it beyond the shadow of a doubt. It exposes it for what it is. And it's funny, as you listen to the dimwit in diapers pretend he has a legacy other than absolute calamity. How is it possible? And it's because the bureaucracy underneath him is raking it in.
And when I ran, I said that I was once asked why I wouldn't when I was 1 and 29 years old. Said it must be a secret. And I said, yeah, the secret you got to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over? You figure out what you're willing to lose over, you got an idea of what you should be doing. And so I hope my legacy is that I was honest, straightforward, and did what I said.
So many failures. So many failures to focus on when it comes to the idiot's legacy. But will any be more effective on the ordinary American than the economy, or will it be the fact that we've given away our sovereignty and now the World Health Organization can decide if we go to work, if we don't go to work, if we can leave our house, or if we have to put the clot shot in our arm?
What do you say to the families, not just Latino families, but families across the country that don't feel that economic growth, that job creation reflected in their paychecks, in their pockets?
Well, it's not yet, but guess what? The 15 million jobs that we've created so far, more than any president has in the time period.
It's 15 million now? Wasn't it 11 or what? We got another 15. How many of them are actual jobs that aren't government? Because you're building yourself quite a Fourth Reich army here.
We're 4.5 million are Latinos. 4.5 more than any other time, number one. Number two, but also it's about changing what happens at the kitchen table.
Ah, 4.5 million of them are Latinos. Boy, really? Rich, Indian Head Park.
Hey, Sean, how you doing tonight?
Aggravated, but fun. How are you?
Yeah, that's every day, right?
Yeah, every day.
You know, Sean, the more you hear this guy talk, the more embarrassing he really is. He thinks that he could forgive student loans, and we know that he can't. And then on the other hand, he has the authority to close the borders, and he tells everybody he doesn't because he needs Congress to do it.
Yeah,
I mean, every day I'm really embarrassed for him. I really am.
Not me. I love it when morons show that they're morons.
Well, yeah,
the people that support him, do you think they know? Do you think they care what he did on day one? The tremendous amount of executive orders that destroyed our not just our tranquility of the nation and opening up the southern border, but forever hamstrung our energy sector and why their energy costs are so high and how this tone of his economic destruction plays right into the hands of the Leviathan as the vast majority of Americans will turn to their slave master. Do you think they put it together? No. They just want more money on their SNAP card, Rich. And if it gets stolen, so what? Just load it again.
Have reached an all-new low, stealing money from people's food stamps debit cards.
That is just ridiculous. New York City is calling it a widespread problem. So has it happened?
I have it in every state. You didn't think I was just going to play the old one because this is a conglomerate of crime. And it always boils down to, I wonder if the people who own those little convenience stores in the ghetto all share some sort and common denominator and are affiliated with a foreign entity. I wonder.
happened to you? Eyewitness News investigative reporter Kristen Thorne is here with what you need to know.
Sade and Dave, the city says in the last month it has received more than 18,000 claims from people who have had their SNAP benefits and or their cash assistant benefits stolen off their EBT cards. And how this is all happening, they say, is really disturbing. They say they've given out more than $4.5 million in refunds to people. Now, remember, that is taxpayer money. So
what happens to the people who steal it? It's the perfect crime. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty.
I don't think we should call it global warming anymore. I think we should call it lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I heard a clip yesterday on one of the dumbest shows I've ever seen on TV, but yet there it is. It's still there.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
Ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here. The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like 100 years.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
For the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
What? Makes you feel good you're not a barista at Starbucks. My next guest, when I heard that, I said, get him on the line. We have to talk to him. After all, he's a geologist, executive director of CO2 Coalition, expert reviewer for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, best-selling author of the first book, Inconvenient Facts. He's got a new book out, A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. He is Gregory Wrightstone. Gregory, how are you?
Oh, I think we've all come away just a little bit dumber than what we were before we heard that clip.
Well,
Dear Lord, do these women, it's unbelievable.
Don't say women, you sexist savage. Yeah. You know what's amazing, Gregory, is that we're hanging on this rock that's doing 1,000 miles an hour. It's doing 1,000 miles an hour. Amazing thing called gravity. If it was 1 degree more, the entire Earth and the universe itself may implode on itself to create a black hole. If it was 1 degree less, we'd all be floating around like we were at a bachelor party at RuPaul's house. But yet it's perfect. Nothing we've ever done has really affected anything to any sustenance, to any substantial form of data that anybody can see who's a scientist. How have they been able to sell this fear to the American people?
Well, it's pretty easy when you have just... when you only have one side that's allowed to present their case, and everyone else like me and my colleagues at the CO2 Coalition and other climate experts are silenced. Because you know why they're silenced? Because we make a lot of sense. We have science facts and data on our side. We have a compelling argument to make that there is no climate crisis. And that the compelling argument I make in my new book is that not only is there not a climate crisis, but modest warming that we've experienced, and we're warming, combined with more CO2 is benefiting, by almost every metric we look at, is benefiting Earth's ecosystems, and by extension, the human condition is improving. I call it the greatest untold story of the 21st century, that of a thriving Earth and a thriving humanity.
As I talk to you in Studio Xanadu on three TVs right now on Propaganda News, what's on right now is tornadoes. You're not going to believe this. Tornadoes are tearing through Tornado Alley right now. Are you sure this isn't global warming?
Yeah. Actually, we can look. Tornadoes in particular have been declining for at least 50 or 60 years. And it's because of, we've warmed about a degree centigrade since 1900. So it's not much, but it's enough. Tornadoes, because of that, severe weather like that isn't caused by increasing temperature. It's caused by increasing differentials in temperature, and the warming actually decreases those differentials. In other words, the difference, very cold to very warm, causes severe weather. When you have warm air below, cold air above, that's driving this. But we know very definitely, particularly the F3, F4, F5 tornadoes, the really big ones, have seen a remarkable significant decline over the last many decades. But they claim, you know, they're throwing everything, they're throwing the kitchen sink against this, and anything that is remotely different that we might expect. I mean, last year it was that increasing toe fungus is being caused by climate change. Yeah, that was a real thing. Just this week they talked about blue jeans and the construction of blue jeans are leading to global warming.
Really?
No matter what we do, they're going to tie it to us. And it's all what they want to do. It's this demonization of what we call the miracle molecule, CO2, carbon dioxide. They call it the demon molecule. And they're trying to control every aspect of they're using this to control every aspect of your listeners' lives. What is it? They've already gotten rid of the incandescent bulb. They've already determined how much water can go with each flush. They've already determined how much water comes out of your shower head. They're trying to control how you heat your home, what kind of a car you can drive. It's about controlling every aspect of your life. And for example, it was Kenya, I believe, an African country that said they were going to stop selling gasoline internal combustion engine cars. And then it was revealed that only 55% of their population actually had electric. They're planning to only sell electric cars, except 45% of the people didn't have electric. How's that going to work? Ox carts and donkeys?
Well, they wouldn't. I mean, really, they're immune to the facts. They're immune to the scandal. And one of my favorite stories I covered earlier this week was Fisker. Fisker is a pass through a vestibule of corruption that has tapped the American people of what we know about $3.5 billion, and they just were delisted yet again. And the reality is, it should have never gotten a dollar from the American people, because their actual product, scientifically, when you analyze the data, is 10 times more destructive than Chevy. It's preposterous that they turn to the problem as the solution. Now, that can only happen because the people themselves are either too cowardly or too ignorant to look into things. I mean, aren't we just dumber? And this is why the old timers generations ago realized the Farmer's Almanac was always right and modern science was always wrong.
Yeah, actually, I don't have the statistics, but I suspect you're right about the Farmer's Almanac, because we know that the climate industrial complex has gotten just about everything wrong over the last 50, 60 years when it came to climate. You know, from there's an ice age coming to no, it isn't, to the Arctic's going to be melted in 10 years, and no, it's not. These are crazy. These are climate grifters. They're making money. They're getting funding. And if you're a professor, you won't get your funding if you don't toe the company line. And I want to make a recommendation for everybody listening. There's a wonderful new documentary that we sponsored the American premiere a couple of weeks ago. It's called Climate the Movie. Mm-hmm. Climate.
I had one of the producers on.
Oh, Tom Nelson. Yeah. He was. It's just watch that and you'll be aghast.
Well, what is astonishing to me is just how the real information of the frauds, of the scandals, really is just focused on by a few people who look into it, people like me and talk radio. But it doesn't really get play on the masses. And I'm almost shocked that they can have a lid on it. For instance, California is a great swindle, great example of how bad things can get in a phenomenally fantastic area. So that to me should be a lesson we all need to pay attention to. They have prosecuted at least three eco-Nazis for the fires that were terrorizing California. And at the same time they did that, they were politically mandating insurance companies to cover all the costs and more as they implemented
zoning rules and regulations that jacked up the cost of construction three times what it is outside of California. So insurance companies said, we're out. You're not going to do this to us. And that is being played as insurance companies are pulling out because of the risk of climate change. And nobody refers to the professor, the other eco-Nazis that burned tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of acres. That's really how they keep a lid on it, is just not giving the information to people who want to read past the headline, because it's the headline most people really listen to. They don't even read about anything anymore, do they?
No, but I got to tell you, I'm very optimistic about where we are. I'm bullish, and I tell people every day we are winning, that I see it just from random people on the street. People I talk to, just these aren't my cohorts. These are just people I see in the airport, just striking up a conversation. They're thirsty for this information that we're providing, and they've never heard it. They might want to go get my I can pull out my smartphone app, which you can get. It's free. It's free for download, Inconvenient Facts. And people look at that, and their eyes get wide. They said, you know, one of the things I often hear is, why aren't they telling us this? Why are they hiding this information? And so I'm optimistic for where we are, and that people are waking up. More people, I think COVID helped a good bit.
Oh, good.
Waking people up, that now people have realized that the experts aren't always right. There was, you know, we had for many, you know, and we should trust so-called experts, but it proved us wrong. COVID proved us wrong, that experts can often be wrong. And there was a consensus on COVID, wasn't there, they told us. Well, there's a consensus on climate. It appears they were wrong about COVID, and I can tell you for sure they're wrong about climate. Again, the what they're saying, the warming we're having started 300-plus years ago, long before we started adding CO2 to the atmosphere. It's primarily naturally driven, and CO2 is just a wonderful, positive molecule. Again, we call it the miracle molecule.
So I was, I've always had very strong opinions. So for decades, I would say there is no global warming, primarily because of the fraud Al Gore was and his hyperbole and his predictions of what would happen in 2012. Nothing ever happened. So I had an interesting incident happen to me over the last few days. My wife and I, she demands, you know, they drag me around like a poodle. We got to go to Home Depot. We got to go here and there and whatnot. So we're in Home Depot.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Yes, we're in Home Depot. I'm getting dragged around looking for locks and whatnot. And some guy, very nice guy, says, oh, the locks are over here. And he starts talking. He goes, you know, I don't really work for Home Depot. I work for Solar XYZ. I forgot the name of the company. And he says to me, you know, would you be interested? We can show you. And I live in Florida. This is how the state of Florida pays for everything. I said, listen, pal. One, there is no such thing. Two, your technology is 100 years old and doesn't work efficiently whatsoever. And why in the world would I spend $70,000 to save $600? So you say. He goes, well, it's actually $1,000. He goes, but those are very tough points to argue with. And he walked away. In the meantime, four people were listening and they had a smile on their face. And I think the real reason we're here isn't just the media per se. It isn't just the government corruption. It's that the American people and people in general are afraid to say what they really believe. And you go along with the lie through intimidation, a form of peer pressure. Don't you think it's time we should just say there is no such thing. It's made up and you're full of it. What do you say?
Yeah. And that's why I wrote the two books that I did, to arm you with the facts, the inconvenient facts, and now a very convenient warming. It's for the everyman. It's readable. It's not for scientists. And we need to arm them and your listeners with the facts about this. But these people like that that you there's no talking to a person like that. He may or may not be bought into this whole climate lie, but he's selling and he's making his living on it.
And that's the other aspect of it. Do we know the amount of money that has been frauded from the American people? And the solar issue is really shocking when you fly across the country and you see specifically how California has spent billions of dollars to put these solar panels, run the wires, use eminent domain to take land. And the reality is, it doesn't really work, does it?
Well, it works when the sun shines and the wind blows, but of course, the sun only shines initially about, you know, probably on average about enough for to power solar 10 hours a day, maybe. The wind stops blowing, usually just when you need it. So what we need is the three things that I always say is reliable, abundant, affordable energy. That's only available with coal, natural gas, oil. Nuclear is abundant and reliable, but it's a bit more expensive than natural gas or coal. We should use those great resources to power America. And the only thing that they say is bad about coal and natural gas is that it's producing too much CO2, which is a huge, huge benefit to agriculture, to the ecosystems, to the vegetation across the earth.
And then they're using regulation to de-civilize the nation itself, or to de-industrialize businesses and hamper companies. LNG is the greatest example of it of all, as far as I'm concerned. Through the technology of LNG, you can transport 600 times. You could bring energy to the places that are still living as if it was the 7th century. You could fix it all, and it's only through political fiat and dictate and mandate that our companies cannot do it, right?
Yeah, and I know something about this. I was the co-author of the very first comprehensive peer-reviewed study on the biggest, largest natural gas field in the world, which is the Marcellus Shale of the Northeast. I was involved in the very early exploration. You may not be aware. This should raise the hackles in the back of your neck. We looked at the top 10 conventional gas fields, natural gas fields in the world combined, didn't equal what the Marcellus was. That's a big field, all right? But
yes.
We can't move that gas to New England where it's needed because New York and New Jersey have bans on pipelines. So it's effectively blockaded. And New England, we can't ship the gas in from Texas or Louisiana using LNG like you talk about because of the Jones Act. The Jones Act says you have to have American flag carriers, American crude ships, to move any commodity from one port of America to another.
And there patriotism used
there
against
no
Americans.
Yeah. So they've got to buy their LNG from Saudi Arabia, from Spain, from Algeria, instead of gas that might be a quarter or a fifth of the cost from Louisiana or Texas. It's just stupid. Joe Biden, in 1 hour, he could sign a waiver like he did for Puerto Rico, the Jones Act, and they could get gas at a fifth of the cost.
Yeah, and it's truly devastating when you look at the detriment Joe Biden's administration has. I watched him be asked about his legacy. And the problem is this is so far down the list of totalitarian failures. It will never be mentioned because the future needs to do to America what's going on in Canada. And when we complain about what's going on in America, and rightfully so, how terrible it is, it's even worse in Canada, where they've made up a fraud scheme of cap and trade. They're selling a product that doesn't exist to make companies pay for something and then trade it as if it did exist. And then the entire time, only a handful of companies and the government make the bulk of the money. Do you think it'll be prevented here? We fought it off under the Obama years. I'm very happy that they did. They were going to put it in Chicago. But do you think that we can fight off a cap and trade system that has been adopted by European moron countries in Canada?
Well, we're fighting it. We have to see the two coalition. We're launching amicus briefs. We fought it in Pennsylvania, here in Virginia. We fought what's called Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, REGI, in both Pennsylvania and Virginia. We just got back from Wyoming, where they're trying to decarbonize the West. Just stupidity. We went out there. I testified before the Wyoming Senate Agriculture Committee. Mm-hmm. And Senator Sherry Steinmetz led the effort. 1 week after we left, she and her colleagues voted and stripped $357 million out of the governor's green slush fund. And she attributed that to all the science that we provided. I just provided testimony in Montana two days ago. And we sent another of our scientists there to Montana, to Helena, Montana, to provide testimony pushing back against this climate carbon tax. So we're working. We're willing to go to other states. We have a report. You're in Chicago. We have a report. If you go to co2coalition.org, search for Midwest, to see the actual truth about climate change in the Midwest and see what's actually going on. So we're working actively to fight against this.
I love what you're doing there. I really do. That's why I love the fact you kick out books. I don't know how you have the time. And I want you to start a homeschool course so that we can save the future, because this is where they really build this.
We're there. Go to CO2LearningCenter.com. CO2LearningCenter.com. We've got books, videos, and we have lesson plans developed by Dr. Sharon Camp, who's an actual scientist. We've developed lesson plans for homeschoolers, for charter schools that might need it. We've been we just were at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference last week and did an hour-long workshop on the state of science education in America. And what we're learning is that they're teaching indoctrination and groupthink instead of the scientific method and critical thinking skills. So we are doing something about that.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to spread it around. CO2coalition.org. I know you need the support. You want the people to view it, because your legacy, unlike Joe Biden's, will be somebody who's trying to fight the Leviathan rather than participate in its corruption. Gregory Wrightstone, I so appreciate you and everybody at CO2 Coalition and how you have the courage to stand against the groupthink and the propaganda, because I know you'd make a lot more money on the other side of the fence. So I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Thing is that cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a
taxpayer
very powerful
dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
Greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows,
just cows alone.
Change them. Do you still get to eat steak, overlord, oligarch, nerd? Do you still get to eat steak? Shut your mouth, moron. Speaking of nerds, Bob Buffalo Grove.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having Gregory Wrightstone on. I'm a follower of the CO2 Coalition, but also there's another organization, and I think you've had them on, is the Heartland Institute.
Of course.
And every Friday I will listen to their noon podcast on climate change. I don't know how we get across to the media. It's spreading all this garbage. And the gaslighting of the students in school who are not taught by real scientists or teachers that know about science. And then finally, I got gerrymandered out of Raja, his congressional district.
It's called,
I still get his
Raja.
Emails.
Yeah, you still get the
I
emails?
I still get his emails.
Yeah.
And Monday, he said,
Raja. Do they say
Raja.
That? Yeah.
On Monday, I think it's noon or something, he's having a podcast Zoom meeting.
Ooh.
With Dilling to talk about climate.
Oh,
climate
I got 20 bucks. Somebody pulls a tubing on that. You want to take some of that action? Yeah, I didn't think so. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone. Tom in Blue Island.
Hey, Sean, dittos. Sean, I find it nuts that you're talking about these Fisker cars. I saw one for the first time about 2 weeks ago in Beverly. It was called a Fisker Ocean. This lady driving down 103rd Street, obviously a Joe Biden voter, because she's in the car by herself with a mask on. And so I Googled it. Unbelievable, Sean. So the first review was a guy that said how much the car sucked. And the second story was how their stock was plunging and they're going to go out of business. I'm like, they're never going to go out of business. They got the government backing them.
No, well, they should have never been in business. They first came out with a Karma, was the name of the car. It was the Fisker Karma. It was an interesting car. What people didn't want to know is that it had a combustion engine. It had a four-cylinder turbocharged combustion engine. And it had two electric engines that sucked.
But the car is still around. It looked like a Batmobile. It was a really fast. It was a nice looking car. As far as the ocean, I don't think a lot of people got them. It's really hard to see them because they also confiscated the deposit because they stopped production months ago, and they are delisted. It is a true pump and dump scam that really took the people down. Fisker, the car company alone, took the American people for at least $3.5 billion when you calculate the factory in Delaware that was retrofitted on the people's dollar that ended up costing $148 or $158 million and was sold to a Chinese investor, a Chinese Communist Party member, who also gave a tremendous amount of money to the Biden administration. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. If only we had a Federal Bureau of Investigation.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse.
Hey, listen, side saddle Fed. Why don't you do something like investigate where our money gets stolen on these pump and dump schemes, on this money laundering system? Maybe you should pull your head out of your derrick. Let's start small. Start with just the money that's being stolen from the people on food stamps. Can you do that?
This stuff goes on every day, all the time. As we speak right now, it's going on.
Assistant Cuyahoga County Prosecutor James Gutierrez is talking about millions in food stamp fraud happening at cash registers in Northeast Ohio every year. The latest 8-page indictment. Police say 15 people charged here at Hometown Grocery in Cleveland for allegedly committing $900,000 in trafficking in the illegal use of food stamps. Gutierrez says it's big-time money for the crooks.
But we found that a lot of these people live in the suburbs in half-million-dollar houses, drive BMWs and Mercedes, while their store is not very bigger than my office.
So in fairness, we went to Hometown.
What else is the common denominator, aside from the fact they drive fancy cars and live in a million-dollar house in the suburbs? There's something else. Say it.
Grocery on Woodland Avenue, looking for a response to the indictments.
Let's see if we can get the owner's side of... Excuse me? Wait a minute. I was going to ask you a question. 1 second. Are you closed? You're closed?
They speak the same language as Hamas. The same language as Hezbollah.
She just locked the door on me right there.
We need to fix this because it undercuts the support for the program.
Just last month, Ohio Auditor Dave Yost admitted the food stamp system needs repairs. In February, federal prosecutors indicted the owners of Holy Land Imported Goods on Lorraine Avenue for
Holy Land Imported Goods. Why would they name it Holy Land?
Allegedly engaging in $4 million of food stamp fraud. Gutierrez says having food stamp cards with just a PIN number isn't enough.
Something as simple as putting your ID or picture on your EBT card would help tremendously.
Let's not get crazy. Then we could use it for voting. Let's not get ridiculous. What is the FBI doing? Hello, dummies.
Query is a fancy name for search. And the intelligence community will tell us right now there are 200,000 queries, 200,000 searches that take place every year on U.S. persons.
Did any of them own convenience stores and were caught stealing tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the American people? Any of them? No? That's depressing.
American citizens. 200,000 a year. Those things are done on American citizens without a warrant, and this is the FBI. And my friend, remember the Rules Committee just talked about, who's abused the system 278,000 times. Not Mr. Roy, not Mr. Jordan Tech giving you that number. That's the number from the Washington Post. 278,000 times. Inspector General at the Justice Department determined that the FBI did not follow the previous rules when they
defund the FBI. Now,
search this database on U.S. persons. And now we're supposed to believe, oh, we've got new rules, stricter rules, better rules, and I'm all for those. Now they're going to follow the new rules. Didn't follow the old ones, but now they're going to follow the new. Well, why don't we go to the tried and true method? If you got the executive branch wanting to look at American citizens' information, they have to go to a separate and equal branch of the government, the judicial branch, and get a probable cause warrant. It's worked pretty darn well for 200 plus years in the greatest country ever.
I don't even know if that's worked well. After all, are you not paying attention to the one with cleavage? Admitting they like the nudge?
They act on that impulse. Then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can.
We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
I'd love to know what his retirement package is, because I'm hoping that he's in the middle of a transition, and that explains the cleavage.
But somehow we can't do it here? Here's the fundamental question. 200,000 searches... by the way, our warrant requirement has three exceptions. And the first exception is if it's an emergency situation, you don't have to go to a judge to get the warrant. You do the search, you find out, and you protect America. Two other exceptions in there as well. So here's the fundamental question. 200,000 searches done on U.S. persons a year. How many of them aren't covered by the exceptions? And guess what? Nobody seems to be able to give us an answer. That's the question we need to know.
I wonder how many of those were against people who understood Joe Biden stole the election and they went to the Capitol to protest and then they were nudged or entrapped. What exactly is it called? A psyop?
So, I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C. Just in case it gets out of hand like that.
There wasn't
enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking maybe half of 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had just 20?
Yeah, just to go through and observe and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So the FBI,
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had Ray Ops. They had who was in the buses that was parked underneath? Ah, pay attention to nothing. There's global warming going on. 312-642-5600.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The Answer.
A lot of scandals happening in Washington, D.C. on a very important day. Whether it's FISA or gain of function. Much money exactly is going out of the door?
Today, President Biden announcing the first ever national drinking water standards for PFAS. Now, $1 billion will be put towards PFAS detection and treatment systems to meet the new standard. New Hampshire.
Did you know that the first mansion Joe Biden bought after he was a new senator, when he could form a sentence, remember his address, and tie his own shoes, was the DuPont Mansion? Did you know that, Squirrel? Very interesting. On a measly, at the time, $67,000 or $71,000 senator's salary, he was able to acquire a DuPont mansion, which was listed at over $875,000. You got to remember, it's 1980. And somehow he pulled it off. And the interest rates were staggering. Qualifications for the mortgage. I wonder how he did it. Well, it turns out, do you know what forever chemicals are? Huh.
New study finds that toxic forever chemicals are in surface and groundwaters around the globe at levels much higher than many international regulators allow.
Out of 45,000 water samples gathered from around the world since 2004, nearly a third of them exceeded threshold limits proposed by the EPA 1 year ago. The chemicals have been used since the 1950s to make consumer products nonstick, oil and water repellent, and resistant to temperature change. But
you know what company used to dominate and have virtually a monopoly in that, Squirrel? DuPont. I'm sure there's no connection. None whatsoever.
It's getting $9,457,000. Now, according to the FDA, PFAS are forever chemicals that were first used in the 1940s and are now in hundreds of products. PFAS contamination has happened in several New Hampshire communities, including at Pease Air Force Base. The chemicals also detected in drinking water in Merrimack. Now, PFAS have been linked to serious illnesses, including certain cancers.
Yeah, well, it turns out drinking chemicals and being poisoned by them, that's not good for you. But if you got enough clout, say you own a senator who becomes president, you can get it cleaned up for free. Curtis, Chicago.
Hey, Sean. Loved your guest talking about the climate and all the global climate stuff. What I want to say is why some of these scientists are cowards. I mean, it makes no sense that they should be cowards. Cowards, you know, not to tell the truth, because to tell the truth, they probably make more money from big oil and other corporations because they wouldn't have to go through all that green stuff. and they save millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars, by trying to tell the truth about what's going on with the climate.
Well, once you corrupt an entire system, Curtis, you know, like they pretend big oil wants to hire lobbyists that fight for the right that the companies to drill and all that. Big oil has been diversified over the last 25, 30 years into the alternative energy realm. See, ironically, big oil owns all of the companies that are solar panels and windmills. They make more money on that fraud than they do delivering actual oil. So they're not purists, and they really don't want to expand in that business. You can make more money creating a fraud product than you can delivering a real product. You follow?
Well, that's true because the whole green energy thing is subsidized. It's not real. It's all phony, as you've stated many times before. But I think if more scientists were brave, it would be much better for them in the long run and for everybody else, even the big oil companies, because they still be able to, you know, they'd be able to pay for stuff and say, hey, if you say it's funny, if it's phony, you can prove science. It's not, science is not subjective, it's objective. So anybody saying it's not true, you say, hey, prove me wrong. And they could do that, and then their reputation would still be intact. And they would have to worry about this kind of stuff of being having a reputation aligned because they have proof. Because when you repeat the experiment, you get the right result.
You know what's funny, too, Curtis, when you look at, it's always about the money. You follow the money. And you look at Gavin Newsom, you look at some of these oligarchs. Gavin Newsom's father was the right hand to the Getty family. The Getty family made billions, were monopolists in Saudi oil and European oil. That Getty money is what Newsom is representing, because Getty, too, is diversified in alternative energies. So they have the power of corruption. It makes Fisker look like a piker. But you're right, Curtis, and Wrightstone and other people, you know this. You've been around the neighborhood a long time. You're aware there's only a few men and women that can't be bought, that have character and integrity. The bulk of them will sell out for food stamps. You know that. Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate the call. Thank you, my man. How much time I got, Squirrely? 30 seconds. That's not enough, but she called twice. Nell! Sorry to rush you, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, the reason why I'm calling, first of all, thank you for accepting the call. But the reason why I'm calling, I don't know if this is happening in other neighborhoods or not, but in the southwest side of Chicago, I would say in the suburbs, I'm observing that all the trees are dead, basically, in the forest preserve. And at this time of year, they're supposed to be foliage.
Well, let's see what happens.
There's no leaves.
I feel bad I didn't get you. I crunched by the clock. Maybe they're just committing suicide because of the atrocities they see in the parking lots of the Forest Preserve. We'll be back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without me.
Legalized tyranny. Legalized bribery. How do you combat it in a republic that is supposed to be based on the rule of law when the rule of law becomes politicized? I don't know. My next guest does. He's a professor of law at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock. He also has experienced the Leviathan from within. He was a clerk for the United States Court of Appeals and worked for the United States Department of Justice, now referred to as the United States Department of Injustice. He is Professor Robert Steinbuch. Thank you for joining me again. How are you?
Always great to be with you, my friend. How are you?
Aggravated. Didn't think it was possible. What the hell is going on?
What crazy that we're talking about?
Well, I mean, how do you quantify the multitude of abuses that's been happening from the so-called Justice Department? Or I think the best way to do it is attack the idea that somehow private business agreements have been weaponized against a former president to prevent him from being president again, or more importantly, bankrupting him in the interim. How did this happen? How can we stop it from happening? Or is every judge's daughter worked for the vice president?
Indeed. But let's take the New York one, right? So they take a law that has never been used this way before. They go after a guy who got contracts with banks, every one of which, excuse me, said, oh, we'd do that deal again and twice on Sunday. none of whom suffered any harm. Every penny on the loan was paid back. And the claim, remember the claim. The claim is, well, you overvalued, you the president, your company, that is, overvalued these multi-million, meaning hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property. You ever try to value your home? You know, I don't know if you live in a condo or a home. You go on Zillow and you're like, no, that's 10% too low. Or, wow, that's 10% more than I ever thought I could get. That's for one home, for one individual. And they're crying he overvalued something that is real estate? Come on. Well, so, and by the way, the prosecutor runs for office with the pledge that he's going to get this guy. How is that justice?
What's quietly happening is the destruction of the ability for men to create contracts, agreements, and execute them. What's quietly happening is the normalization that government is the supreme overlord over everything. And in the real estate business, this is what separates us from other countries. We're the only country that had the bundle of rights attached to it when we transacted business, particularly in real estate. So the real answer is to what it's worth, whatever I say it's worth. What it's worth is whatever I say it's worth and whatever you say you'll pay. And that's it. The government has no room in that agreement. But I speak to you at the same time, government that can account for none of the money it spends demands that private businesses pay private individuals a set amount regardless of any agreement between the business and the individual. So really what's happened is government has found a legal way to navigate and backdoor nationalize everything from fast food restaurants to real estate transactions and lending. And nobody's really putting up the fight of principle. How do we get back the principle of our nation?
Well, you know, Bill Maher, who I watch and I find often entertaining and occasionally correct, those two don't need to overlap after all, right?
Yeah.
He said, the conservatives have it all wrong because they say we don't have any socialism. Well, we have a socialized military and we have a socialized this and a socialized that. He doesn't realize what he's saying for the most part is, hey, the left is winning. Meaning, yes, too much is socialized, Bill. Dial it down. Dial it back.
Well,
go ahead.
None of it's supposed to happen, right? I mean, you can have the debates politically and politicians can happen. But what was the barrier between the American government versus the European governments is the rule of law, right? The shield. That, in fact, has never been more on display as absolutely corrupted. And the reality is this couldn't happen if the judges, if the system itself wasn't run by the Leviathan, because that could never happen here in Florida, where I've moved to. It can't happen in Tennessee. So what you really have is you better not be brought on trial where the government itself is corrupted, known as Democrats. That's the real difference, the unspoken issue here. And I'm wondering, why haven't Republican judges said, this is outrageous, it has to come to an end?
Well, you're right. It's the politicization of the criminal justice system. That should not be a political outcome. We just had a case here, as you know, as you mentioned in my introduction. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I just litigated a case before the Arkansas Supreme Court about the right to carry guns in certain environments under the law. We have statutes, and of course, we have the Second Amendment and the state version of the Second Amendment. Well, I thought I was going to win that case. And I lost that case because one judge who was running for chief justice voted in a way that I did not expect her to vote. And my point here is I believe politics played a role. That's always a problem. And when you see it, like in New York, where every juror, the judge, the prosecutor, everybody lined up is all left to far left of center, then basically good luck. I say sarcastically.
That's terrible.
You're not going to get a fair shake. Yeah.
No. So really, the answer is if you're not part of the problem, you have to get out of these areas. I mean, it boils down to one thing: you cannot afford to live in a corrupted mafia-run area if you're an honest man. I see it no other way.
Well, related to that, a good friend of mine who's a judge once said to me, Don't get your sleeve caught up in the criminal justice system, because even if you win, you lost your shirt. So it's never good to get implicated in that. And this is a problem that we have, by the way. I'm a law and order type, but the fact is that some people are innocent and some people are found innocent. Hopefully those two groups overlap significantly. And yet those people that are found innocent often have their lives ruined in the process. Something needs to be done about that. This is a bit of an aside, but it relates to your point.
Gavin O'Blenis is a name nobody knew of. He's a retired G-man with cleavage. He is caught on an investigative tape where he thought he was on a date, apparently, with a man, I'm guessing, by the notes he was able to hit in the conversation. However, he does something that is really what we kind of suspected, but nobody had the actual admission of. He admitted that the FBI performs entrapment, and he just calls it a nudge, that they're able to do it, and it's somehow legal. Is it legal for the FBI to entrap people? Now, keep in mind, you're talking to a guy who the FBI has referred to as forever bothering Italians. I know full well why they travel in pairs, and the second one is some sort of a judge, and if he asks you if you have sugar in your house and you tell him, no, I don't want you to come in for coffee, they can fine you or they can try you for lying to the FBI. So this is a normalized entrapment section that we've turned a blind eye to because we thought it benefited us. Now it's being used against us. Do you think this admission by Gavin O'Blenis on investigative tape will prove to be detrimental to the entrapment motive that they've always used quietly?
No, I don't. Now, to be fair, the law of entrapment, and there are two different standards, and the feds use one of them, and I don't remember which one of them it is offhand, but the law of entrapment basically says, under both standards, slightly differently worded, that if you weren't going to commit this crime and what they did made you commit the crime, well, then you get the defense. But if they just gave you an opportunity that you would have otherwise taken advantage of in a different circumstance, guess what? You go into jail. So that's the line that they walk. But do they walk it too closely at times? I'm sure the answer is yes.
Well, how do you feel about what happened with FISA and the issue of how it's been used against the American people, whether they are aware of it or not, and the fact that we've had all of these requests over 200,000 and it's been normalized? How do you feel about this power that the government has?
Yeah, the classic abuse is, what was that guy's name who was sort of a bit of a goofy guy, shaved head, and he had once had been in the Navy, and they used these FISA warrants to go after him and basically ruin his life, and then it all came out later. He was working for the CIA. You remember who I'm talking about? I can't remember his name offhand.
Barry Seal is all I think about, but all right, I can't. Yep. You know that in Mina, yeah.
Yeah. No, right.
Yeah. So I don't remember that specific case, but okay, so they use it and he works for the CIA. What happens? What's the outcome?
During the middle, basically, he gets crucified. He gets called before Congress. He gets grilled and looked into and investigated by the FBI, all while he's actually working for the government. And so the point to bring out about this case is that when everything's shrouded in secrecy, like those FISA warrants are, and sometimes need to be clear, you're going to have abuses. It's that simple. And therefore, we need to be very, very cautious about them. I'm not saying I would eliminate them, to the surprise perhaps of some of my ultra-conservative friends, but we have to be very, very cautious. And there certainly has been documented cases where that caution hasn't manifested.
What's the difference between FISA and the rest of them? My understanding is it's really a one-way street. There's no argument put up for the rights of the citizen. What is that? The only difference is that it's prosecutor and a judge.
To some extent, that's even an exaggeration, because of course, for any arrest warrant or search warrant, there's no other side either, right? The prosecutors don't go into a judge to get a search warrant and say, "Hey, this guy doesn't know he's under investigation, but let's call his attorney in." So these things exist in a one-sided fashion in the ordinary criminal justice system. I'd say the biggest difference is sort of the level that one has to meet to get that warrant, right? Probable cause in a criminal case is not an insignificant burden, although we've seen a lot of warrants issued. But the burden, as a practical matter, in a FISA warrant seems lower.
Due to continuing resolutions that have gone just rubber stamped by Republicans in spending, there's been the creation of something called the Climate Corps. The Climate Corps, as I see it, is a Gestapo-like entity in which can possibly employ up to 50,000 people in every state. So you're talking about an addition of government workers of 2.5 million in the beginning. You know how that works in government and what it'll grow to. This apparatus, the Climate Corps, has this power of regulation, enforcement of regulation on everybody, every small business, medium business, everything. But you know as well as I do, the power of regulation always becomes some sort of a extortion tactic referred to as regulation, but it's really a law. I remember the Constitution mentioning that there should be no unjust laws. What are the American people to do in the face of how I categorize it as a Gestapo in the eco-Nazi movement? How do we push back on this?
We got to dial back entirely the administrative state, meaning not only in the environmental context, everywhere. The government has set up these bureaucracies. And while I think that word inherently describes bad activities, I don't mean that. I just mean these large organizations of unelected bureaucrats who are tasked with interfering with our freedoms. And they're given that power through these very broad brush-stroked laws by Congress and in the states by the state legislatures. And it's really a problem. We have to narrow that. We have to have Congress say, no, we're not going to have an entity that just marches around and determines what's right and wrong. We're going to set the rules. And guess what? It's a lot of work, Congress. Get to work. But they much prefer, as the state legislators, hey, we'll write a general law because it's too difficult, and by the way, not so politically advantageous for us to write the details because then somebody can campaign against us on that issue. And they need to do their jobs and dial back the administrative state. It's not as if we shouldn't have any regulatory bodies. Again, I don't go that extreme, but it's too big. And then equally, the courts have deferred to these regulatory bodies to a point, by the way, that there is now literally case law, it's known as the Chevron doctrine, that says if an administrative agency interprets its own rule against you, Sean, well, they should be deferred to in terms of getting it right because they wrote it in the first place. Well, that's the opposite. It should be literally the opposite. If they wrote the rule, they shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt. I should get all the benefit of the doubt. But no, they are given so much power. Now, conservative judges have started to talk about rolling back that court-created doctrine known as Chevron. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the case, after all. But it's slow. And by the way, Congress could turn that around tomorrow. They could write a law saying no deference to bureaucracies. Everybody comes in the court where what's her name, Lady Justice truly has the blindfold on. Right now she ain't got the blindfold on, and that's because the courts pulled it off.
She's got 3D glasses on, and it's astonishing to me what we see and what we've accepted. You know, Rudy Giuliani case is an amazing case, to me, and it reminds me of, I have a very good friend of mine who's a lawyer. And, you know, he always smirks at me when I talk about the law being a shield for the ordinary man. And he goes, you know, in theory, you're right. And justice is there, but it's really expensive. Has the system, in fact, become so onerous for the ordinary man that's the real explanation for all of the plea deals we see? Because people are afraid of the bastardization of law. And the fact of the matter is, it's different if you're in a Republican county or a Democrat county. And what happened to Rudy Giuliani is exactly the intention of a mafia that understands how to wield bureaucracy and corrupted law to bankrupt people at will. I mean, are you still shocked at the way in which they were able to go after Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell and the rest of it? I mean, they basically intimidated and extorted them into taking deals to not be victims that Giuliani was
was made up to be.
Yeah, well, indeed, that goes back to my earlier comment about don't get your sleeve caught in the criminal justice system, because even if you win, you lose. And so I agree with your sentiment. I will say this, and I have generally been a fan, historically, I've been a very big fan of Rudy Giuliani, and more recently, generally, let's say, a fan of Rudy Giuliani, meaning there are a few.
Not his hairdresser. I think his hairdresser is a real moron. But Rudy, I'll go with. Go ahead.
That's right. And Rudy was quite active in using that criminal justice system as the biggest hammer he could when he was a U.S. attorney, by the way. So yeah. I just want to point, that doesn't make it right, that what's happened to him now, to be clear. It doesn't it right. But that, you know, he actually was part of kind of a wave of that type of law enforcement at the prosecutorial level. So yeah. It's interesting to see it come full circle.
So he's hoisted by his own Rico petard, is what you're saying.
A little bit. That is correct. That is indeed correct.
I like that. I like that take on it. Are you going to, what happens? You argued before the Supreme Court. You lost the case. Are you going to appeal?
Or there is no appeal.
Here's what
we're going to do. We're going to go to the legislature, and we're going to change the law that didn't need fixing because it was perfectly clear. But if a judge misinterprets it at the Supreme Court, well, then we're going to rewrite it again. And I've already talked to legislators here in Arkansas about fixing that law. They're not going to stop us. All they can do is slow us down.
Very good, very good. How are things going in Arkansas? I've always been interested in Arkansas. It's a very interesting... It's a very interesting area, you know, and it really is. Yeah. So what is the culture like there? Are the people more on the side of Americanism, or have they adopted kind of the Bill Clinton corruption? Did we lose them? No, we lost them. All right. See, you start bringing up Mena, Arkansas, squirrel. You know who that was? That was the NSA, CIA or something. We'll effort to, I don't know, we ran out of time with him, but an absolute wonderful guest who continues to make time for us. I can't say enough about him. And Professor Steinbuch, even though you've been NSA'd, I appreciate you always making time for me, and we'll have you on again very soon. In the meantime, when I get back, I'll take your calls, 312-642-5600 after this.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois,
in the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Death to America and butter sauce. Don't boil me. I'm still alive. Iraq lobster.
Iran threatening Israel. Joe Biden says the attack is imminent. Israel says, we'll nuke Tehran. You want to do it now? God, I dare you. You'll be like Hamas begging, please stop. We didn't mean it. As they kick your ass. Linda, Palos Heights.
Hi, Sean. Hey, listen, call me a crazy conspiracy theorist, but after listening to Nikki Whaley report on the judgment for the public land in the city on the Obama Museum,
yeah,
and the new proposed tax on taxpayers for the ability for municipalities to create a museum tax, you think there's any connections? I mean, just wondering, like,
you know what? It's a bigger sign of Linda. The real thing is they don't want you to realize how many people are vacating property that has been paid off for generations. How many people are just walking away and property going to the tax auctions, not to mention commercial real estate that is going to the tax auctions. People would rather walk away than pay the onerous, outrageous taxes that are not based on an ad valorem system, but are based on the cost of keeping that crime syndicate called Chicago in operation. It's a staggering, staggering fact that never goes mentioned. The tax auctions have never been thicker and deeper with property. And they keep talking about more money for everything from sporting events to museums for Obama. People are fleeing and drowning in the corrupt policies
right
of
there.
The Democrat mafia. It's terrible.
Yep.
Of course you are. Look
it
at Palos Heights. Would your taxes go up this year? Based on what? Not the value of the property anymore. Come on.
And what more services am I receiving? That's what I would like to know.
Oh, none. None. Right. And don't test your water. Thank you, Linda, for listening and calling. I appreciate it. I mean, it's a travesty. Dan in Hanover Park.
Hey, Sean, I want to say thank you for exposing all the things that nobody really wants to talk about. You're doing a great job on this. And you know, I got an idea to expose it a little bit more. You know, you asked the earlier guest how they're able to keep a lid on all the, you know, lies and things. And I think it's kind of easy answer is that, a lot of people just want to stay out of politics. They don't want to get involved in this stuff. They don't want to do their homework. They just believe whatever the news is telling them. So I think one way to cut through that would just be to have some good, open, honest debates. And I don't mean through politicians who are, you know, trained to sweet talk everybody, but I mean guys like you, Levine, Shapiro, Crowder, Bongino, whatever, versus somebody, you know, Maddow and Joy Reid and all those other types of people, because they can't argue with guys like you. You know, when you put facts in their face,
what's interesting is this idea. Well, what's interesting is this idea there are still people today that think they can pretend, oh, I don't get involved in politics, because what they don't realize is politics is everything. It affects everything. Yeah. And, you know, the beauty of what we're witnessing, this cancer of Marxism taking over and seeping into all aspects of life, they have to admit it affects everything, even where they hide. In sports, it affects everything. And that's what people have kind of really been nullified of. It's a very Machiavellian takeover of life itself. I did not think, I will admit to you, I did not think it would be as successful as it is. We're in the year 2024. America is in a more tenuous position than it's ever been when it comes to having their life taken over by government. So I would love the idea, but how do you do it, Dan, when so many of our fellow Americans are
out there?
Well, we do. That's what we're doing here on the show. You know, that's what we're doing. We're giving it to you. Now, what I do, it's different than other people.
Better than anybody.
I reject the idea that they can propagandize you with talking points. So we exclude them from my show. They have to lie to Honey Bunny to get through, because the reality is we're arguing with people who have never been right and insist they are right. I mean, I play the clips of Leonard Nimoy telling us about the Ice Age when it comes to climate change. When it comes to tax policy, these are the arguments we won in the 60s, when it's Social Security or government health care. Look at Obamacare. Not more of a failure has there ever been an example. And yet people are afraid to talk about it. Why? And it's because they've been intimidated into groupthink. So I just want to give guys like you the opportunity to tell your friends to listen. And you know what's funny, Dan? Google Podcasts just shut down everybody and shut down everything. Did you know that? You can't go to Google Podcasts anymore. You can go to iTunes and Amazon and other things. But you know how many thousands and thousands of people were listening to my show, The Morning Answer, and so many other great hosts through Google Podcasts? Why would Google shut down their podcast? And the reason is we're now practicing censorship in America. So to a certain extent, I want to let them wallow in Democrat areas to get the effects that they deserve, because they've been compliant in thinking, I'm not political. We're all political, whether you want to be or not. Dan, thanks for listening and holding on and calling the show in Hanover Park. I appreciate you. Ken in Geneva.
Hey, love listening to the show. Always do. Wanted
Thank
to just
you.
Share with you. Yeah, oh, you guys got it. You got a great show. I tell people to join. I'm trying to help the ratings even grow, because I tell everybody to listen to it.
We're having a good time. Yeah. Thank you.
So in Kane County, we're moving the needle. It's slow, but Kane County is bought and paid for by Pritzker, and it's an extension of Crook County, and they're spending their surplus budget on salaries and benefits, so they've overspent their budget, and they're expanding. But we get out there, we got groups that are speaking out, and I'm telling you, the only way to win this thing is at the local level. People have to go to the board meeting and hold the board members accountable, and they can't let up. Otherwise, they'll just walk all over us. But there's some good stuff happening in Kane County.
I want to know what happened with Ozinga and why he left. Wasn't he the chairman down there, or am I mistaken? Ozinga.
Jack Cunningham is the chairman of Kane County, I believe.
Oh,
I know it was something with the Republicans. I had the pleasure of meeting him. I know a couple of his family members. He's a good guy. I'm shocked that he left. You know, I was kind of a little bit excited that he was going to get involved in politics. He doesn't have to. He could go anywhere. And I was hoping that he would kind of push out the scum in the Republicans. But, you know, they're overwhelming, man. And when you look at what's going on, I wish you the best. I really do. I really do think that Illinois specifically is why you need to break away from calling the pushback to the Democrats Republicans anymore. I mean, if you see what has gone on for generations in Illinois, it's outrageous.
I got to tell you something really, really positive.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm in southern Wisconsin now. It's awesome.
Listen, I agree with you, babe. That's the right answer for you because none of us, we all have the same enemy. It's called time. And, you know, when you realize what's going on, I love that you're in southern Wisconsin. You could save Wisconsin a lot better, a lot easier than you can Illinois. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks.
Now let's go to part of the problem. He's the boil on the ass of society. He's the greatest example of a Chicago municipal Democrat wasting what he thought would be an incredible pension. He can't even leave the condo anymore. What's up there, kid?
I'm thinking about Eugene Debs.
Right.
I wonder if he's got a prototype to run the Socialist Party this time up. But they're looking for a candidate. He's in Elmhurst. They're looking through Elmhurst. Maybe they'll buy a cigar.
Elmhurst has really taken a turn for the worst. You have to see what's going on there. You know, they tried to kick me out of the cigar store after 25 years. They said that the girl next door didn't like the smoke as she had a cigarette in her mouth. Did I tell you this? Phenomenal.
Idiot.
Yeah. So, Eugene Debs, you're talking about the Indiana State Rep. Who are you talking about? The guy with the funny collar?
Well, he died in 1925. And he was put in prison about 50 times.
Yeah, but he thought he was Count Dracula, right? What was his deal? He died in Elmhurst. I know that, right?
Yeah, he died in Elmhurst. He went to prison several times. He was a socialist, more like along the Bernie Sanders.
I think I
Sanders,
beat up his grandkid at the Spring Inn. Didn't they bury him with his ass sticking out so people could park their bikes? Gives a rip about these socialist bastards. I hope they all go to Chicago. It's going swimmingly for you over there. Do me a favor. Don't go for a walk at dusk. You're going to scare and confuse the gangbangers. In the meantime, when you realize how they've been infiltrated, really, tell me the difference between this and today's Democrats.
The communist vote is a vote for life. A vote for the communist ticket, it is a vote to end racism, to all forms of discrimination. It is a vote for jobs, a vote for a decent income, a home for everyone, for full equality of women, especially on the job. It is a vote for free child care centers and for working mothers a 6 months maternity leave with full pay. It is a vote for free quality medical care, hospital care for all who need it. It is a vote for free college education for all regardless of income. We have the materials. We have the manpower to build a decent home for every family. We can build enough schools and hospitals. If we can have modern mass transit systems. We can eliminate poverty and want. We can do all this. We can provide these services only if we eliminate corporate profits as the kingpin on the list of priorities.
Wrong. Boy, that sounds just like the girl before Kennedy today, doesn't it? It's why Brennan supported him, who became a leader of the CIA, not to mention the other idiot for the FBI. The American Communist Party didn't lose in the 70s, just went to work for the government. And now it's the one controlling Washington, D.C. We'll be back after this.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot. By the way, something.
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You sick.
Gus Hall looked like everybody else in the 70s. He had the support of communists in America, like John Brennan, who would go on to not only learn Arabic and be flipped by the Middle East, but become the CIA director. Do you think that Zorka Millen, who now is the policy director at the Financial Accountability and Corporate Office of the Government, do you think she'd fit in with the Gus Hall crowd? Me too.
Do you believe that there are major American corporations cheating on their taxes?
I believe they are coming very close to crossing the line, and it's difficult for IRS that is outgunned to enforce the line.
Are they crossing the line or not?
Well, it's up to the IRS to enforce the line if they don't have the
resources.
I'm asking
you your opinion. You're an expert.
I think there's a good case to be made that, yes, they are crossing the line.
So, yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Who are they?
That's up to the courts and the IRS to determine.
You made this allegation, but you don't want to say who they are? If you know who they are, you just don't want to tell us.
This is our fault. We adopted not only the second plank of the Communist Manifesto and a progressive tax to keep the people down, detach them from the money that they make, but we implemented the ideology where we call it tax, but it's really seizing the money of people and corporations that earned it to give it to a government that squanders it. Just the way Gus Hall and the communists said, it would deliver utopia. Really? Where's the policy? The one that works as it was sold to the people. Where's the accountability of the money that's stolen and lost on a regular basis?
The other big story here at 10 tonight, a multi-million-dollar food benefits fraud scheme. Take a minute and take that in. It happened right here in North Texas, but it's now been broken up. Federal investigators say...
I got them everywhere. Texas, Cleveland, Illinois, California.
Moving now to a story of statewide fraud. Some of the state's poorest and most vulnerable residents have been targeted by cyber criminals. The thieves are going after EBT cards, which are used to pay for groceries and other basic essentials.
Where's the story on it? How many hundreds of billions have been stolen since the dimwit and diapers started to soil the Oval Office? By the way, did you see him walking around the garden today with the Japanese fella? I don't know if he looks like one of those robots that just learned how to walk, but I can't tell because he can't move his face because of the Botox and whatever's keeping him above grass. It's embarrassing, but perfect for the year 2024. Dave in Libertyville.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for keeping me aggravated.
Anytime, brother.
I just wanted to let you know, when Biden took office, it started to go off. Sorry.
No.
And I sold my house. I'm renting a townhouse. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you're not going to stick around for the grocery stores by the government? Pritzker's opening them up now.
Yeah, give me that.
Give me that grocery stores coming to all kinds of Illinois deserts now. Sure.
Yeah. But what do you think about Tennessee?
Oh, love it. Got a relative. Her and her husband, a new family. You got a baby. They're loving every minute of it. Steve Cortez, Tennessee, absolutely loves it. I mean, I personally like Southwest Florida because I look phenomenal in a Speedo. And I like the beach. So that's just me. But everybody should go to a state where American rights, the principles, are embraced, not rejected. You have to get away from the Democrats. There's no other answer.
I had a bad dream last night.
Oh, boy. After was it Kamala Harris? Did she break into your house again?
No. After Biden won re-election, Pritzker won president of 2028.
I got good news for you. Even though they steal the election, thank you for the call. How much time do I got, Squirrel? Even though they steal the election, I got news for you. People love the Donald.
Are you passing out milkshakes?
Yes, you can. So you can afford to have it. You know why? Because you're thin.
Chick-fil-A in Georgia.
So Brian Jack, does anybody know Brian Jack?
Nope.
Brian Jack is running District 3. We got to vote for him.
We went long. Be back in 21 hours. We'll finish the clip. People love him. Bull races. Because he stands for America versus Biden. Whore. We'll be back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.